From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
We welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. In the course of these studies in the book of Romans, Dr. Cairns is explaining Paul's teaching about justification by faith. The text for this message is chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. In the earlier verses, the apostle used the example of Abraham to demonstrate that sinners are not saved by their works, but by faith in the sacrifice of Christ on the cross. In the present text, Paul cites the example of David, as found in Psalm 32, verses 1 and 2, to further emphasize the blessedness of the man who is justified by faith apart from works. Once again, the focus is on the righteousness of Christ, which God imputes to the sinner who repents and trusts in the Savior. In a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will continue a message called The Beauty, Basis, and Blessings of Free Justification. Before he comes, please enjoy this devotional thought taken from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Morning and Evening.
Today's text is found in 1 Kings chapter 22 and verse 48. Jehoshaphat made ships of Tarshish to go to Ophir for gold, but they went not, for the ships were broken at Ezion-Geber. Solomon's ships had returned in safety, but Jehoshaphat's vessels never reached the land of gold. Providence prospers one and frustrates the desires of another in the same business and at the same spot. Yet the great ruler is as good and wise at one time as another. May we have grace today in the remembrance of this text to bless the Lord for ships broken at Ezion-Geber, as well as for vessels freighted with temporal blessings. Let us not envy the more successful, nor murmur at our losses as though we were singularly specially tried. Like Jehoshaphat, we may be precious in the Lord's sight, although our schemes end in disappointment. The secret cause of Jehoshaphat's loss is well worthy of notice, for it is the root of very much of the suffering of the Lord's people. It was his alliance with a sinful family, his fellowship with sinners. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 37, we are told that the Lord sent a prophet to declare, "Because thou hast joined thyself with Ahaziah, the Lord hath broken thy works." This was a fatherly chastisement, which appears to have been blessed to him. For in the verse which succeeds our morning's text, we find him refusing to allow his servants to sail in the same vessels with those of the wicked king. Would to God that Jehoshaphat's experience might be a warning to the rest of the Lord's people to avoid being unequally yoked together with unbelievers. A life of misery is usually the lot of those who are united in marriage or in any other way of their own choosing with the men of the world. Oh, for such a love to Jesus, that like him we may be holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sinners. For if it be not so with us, we may expect to hear it often said, "The Lord hath broken thy works."
Precious one.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're delighted that you've tuned in today, and we're especially grateful for those of you who make this program a regular part of your day. We've been particularly encouraged by the response to the program content and the format. So if you have written to say that the Lord has blessed you, or to ask for some of the literature that we offer, then take our thanks for taking time to do so. And if you haven't yet done so, we would be delighted to hear from you. You may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular postal mail. You may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. As you can see, it's easy to contact us. Also, if you enjoy the program, you might like to join us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget that word radio, ltbsradio.com. We hope to hear from you, and that you'll join us on our website this week.
I don't care how many millions of dollars Mel Gibson has made in his picture. I don't care how violent or otherwise it is. You couldn't portray crucifixion honestly without making it horrendously violent. What offends me about it, but no more it than other things, is when people think they know better than God Almighty, and he says, you will not make any representation of your God if he's the object of your worship. He must not be represented to your sight. That's God's law. That's God's law. That's why I say in religious controversy, much, much better to be able to go to what God says than what I think. I'm not an art critic. In fact, I'm a Philistine. When it comes to art criticism, I am not a film critic. I know nothing at all about the art of making films. If you'd ever seen my productions from the Holy Land in the days of cine cameras and all the rest of you, you'd understand that. But I do believe that Bible. And I'm going to make a statement. I have no doubt that even here, there'll be people mightily offended at the vigor of the outspokenness of what I've said. I'm sorry for you, but I do not express one glimmer of regret for what I say, for I believe that book. And if we ever, and I think we are reaching this stage, if we ever reach the stage in our Bible-believing churches when people are twisting like eels in order to justify what our Puritan forefathers, and as a Presbyterian, I'm glad to say our Presbyterian forefathers bled and died to protect the severe spirituality and simplicity of Christian worship. If ever the day comes that I can't say that and people are so twisting as to protect their popish views that they want to impose on the Bible, then it's a sad day. And I suppose it will cause the cause of Christ a great, great deal of trouble. But there's the controversy. And that's as much as I want to say on it. It's very simple. What does the Bible say? What does the Bible say? And once you've got what the Bible says, you've got the last word on the subject. Now that's true in every controversy. I could go down the list of controversies that perplex, and people fight and argue and give opinions, and seems to me, and all that. As I've said in other contexts, what does it matter what it seems to you? What does it matter what seems to me? It really doesn't matter at all. If you're not willing to bow to Scripture, then you're no better than the Jews were. Because that's what Paul was doing, hitting them with the Scripture. Just before we come into the meeting tonight, with a young fellow back here manning the board that sends out this broadcast live over the internet and gets it ready then for downloading onto sermon audio. But as we're coming in, I was behind his back, he couldn't see me. And I had my Bible like a hammer over his head and was saying to him, Mr. Graham, what do you think? Do you think he would like me bringing the full weight of the Word of God to bear upon his head? And that might have been quite a shock to him. Well, what we're doing is bringing the full weight of the Word of God to bear upon our heads and upon our hearts. And if we're not willing to take that, then we're in the same position as the Jews, who were not willing either. You remember the argument that Paul and the Jews were having. They were on the subject of a man's acceptance with God. There's no more basically important thing for any man. How can I be accepted with God? The Jews argued that human works and human merits had a lot to do with it. A large part in getting there. And Paul was arguing that human works and human merits had no part whatsoever in obtaining justification. He went on, of course, and we'll do this in due course, he went on to show that holy living is the fruit of being accepted with God in justification, but it's not the cause of it. The Jews objected and said, well, look at Abraham. Abraham, we know, was a good man, a righteous man, a faithful man, an obedient man. Look at Abraham. That proves that there's a man whose righteousness God rewarded. There was even merit, according to the Jews, in Abraham's faith. So God blessed him because of what he saw in him. So Paul takes up the challenge, and in effect he says, well, let's look at Abraham. What does the Bible teach? What does the Bible teach? That's what I'm saying. Bring it all down to the Bible. What saith the Scripture? What shall we say that Abraham, and that says according to the Scripture record, has found? And goes on in the first five verses to show that Abraham was justified by grace through faith, apart from his own works. Now he goes on to say this is not even an isolated instance. I've talked about Abraham, but lest you think this is a trick of interpretation, something I'm imposing on Abraham, let me bring you to another man. And so he cites David and quotes one of his most famous psalms. Notice how he starts verse 6, even as David also. The word even means just as David also. He's consciously linking David with Abraham. He's saying there's one truth in this subject. David occupied the same ground as Abraham. David took the same position as Abraham, and indeed as Paul. He confessed the same personal sin and guilt. He confessed his personal inability and lack of merit to remove sin and guilt. He confessed his same dependence on free grace. And he expressed that faith without works was the only way of receiving that grace. So he says, now let's look at David. Having dealt with Abraham, we're going to deal with David. And so he proceeds to show what David says in support of this vital truth of justification by faith. Now, as we get into David's words, I want you to understand what he's really talking about. Because if you go back to the 32nd Psalm, you will see that David does not mention the word justification. David does not actually use the words that God imputes righteousness, which is the same thing as saying God justifies. David doesn't use those words. But Paul's saying, I want you to understand what David is really talking about. Understand this. God imputeth righteousness without works. That's what David's words prove. So understand the subject here. And notice the terms in which he couches this subject. Back in Romans 7 he says, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven. Romans 4 should it say, verse 7, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. We're going to pay particular attention to the terms in which David expresses this. And as we do so, I think you'll find that David is revealing to us here a wonderful subject, and I trust it will be a blessing to you, an eye-opener if you're not saved, a way that will lead you to the light of the gospel of grace and the experience of it in salvation. If you are saved, it will lead you to understand more fully what it is you have in Christ and the ground of your security. The subject is the beauty, the basis and the blessings of free justification. The beauty, basis, and blessings of free justification. Now remember, Paul has just made a statement that he knows quite well will sound revolutionary to Jewish minds. Indeed, it still sounds revolutionary today. Romans 4, verse 5. This is the great statement that he's using David to support. To him that worketh not, to him that does not depend on doing any good works, to him who has not a work to present in his own behalf before God as a reason for his acceptance and salvation, to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Now notice what he's saying, and this is the revolutionary sounding thing. God justifies the ungodly. Now to the Jews that was outrageous. Can I say to you that to most people, Roman Catholic and Protestant, to say nothing about the heathen religions that unite in a doctrine of works, it is outrageous to say that God justifies the ungodly. Notice very carefully that this is the way divine grace deals with the ungodly. Now, a holy God, a just God, must deal with ungodliness. And now let me put it to you very simply. There is only one thing that a just and holy God can do with ungodliness. There's only one way he can deal with it. And that is, he must condemn it. He must condemn it. If otherwise, then he becomes a party to it. That's why the scripture says, Nahum chapter 1, he will not at all acquit. The idea there is to declare innocent. He will not at all acquit the wicked. God can no more take ungodliness and accept it and pretend it doesn't exist than he can sin himself. And he cannot sin. There's only one thing that a holy and just God can do with ungodliness, and that is he must condemn it. And yet here we read, he justifies the ungodly. And not only so, but he justifies the ungodly without the ungodly doing anything at all to deserve it. Now that's the launching point for Paul and for us tonight. Keep that in mind. And you will see first the beauty of free justification. Watch carefully the terms of verse 7. Because here Paul is defining and describing sin, guilt, ungodliness. Notice the words he uses. He uses the words iniquity, sins, and then in verse 8, sin, in the singular. The word iniquities in verse 7 carries the idea of lawlessness. The idea in the Old Testament, in the Hebrew of Psalm 32, and here in the Greek of Romans chapter 4, the idea of both words carries the notion of rebellions. These iniquities are rebellions. They are revoltings against God. You remember how the Lord Jesus in his parable in Luke chapter 19 said something that really expresses the heart of the natural man against God and his Christ? We will not have this man to reign over us. That's the spirit of rebellion. That's the spirit of revolting. That's the idea of these iniquities or lawlessnesses.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.